Well, if you have your Bible today, I would like us to take a look at Luke chapter 1. And this morning, I want us to take a look at verses 26 through 35, and then we'll be down to verse 38, I believe. But when we look at the story of Christmas, most of us are familiar with it. We've read it many, many times. You know, you've read it, I've read it, you know, over and over, and every year we act it out, and you've seen plays, and we've seen the angels fall, you know, the little angels, you know. We had one that came down off the step one time, and he fell, and so, oh, that's the fallen angel, you know. But anyway, it's all fun, and we laugh, and you know, we've been up there and we see the teacher, you know, unto us is born, you know, and you hear the teacher and then you hear the child, unto us is born, you know. Oh yeah, that's my part. So hallelujah, we have fun and we enjoy the Christmas story, and we should, because but many of the characters within the story. Today, I want us to focus a little bit on Mary because of who she was, but I want us to also maybe touch on Joseph too and see who they were, that there's not an accident with God. Mary was not chosen by accident, neither was Joseph, the father who would be the father of Jesus to raise him. We would say, well, that's his stepfather. But really, it was his only father on the earth, his fleshly father. Of course, he had God as his earthly, his heavenly father, and that's very important, because when the blood of God was placed into Mary, there was no sin involved. Therefore, God was not born in sin, but he was born already alive to the Father, never sinning, never having the taint of sin in his blood. He could have sinned by will, by choice, fully man, fully God, but he did not. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. Amen. He came as that Savior, but there's no accident with God. God chose Mary to be Jesus' mother. She'd been prepared and positioned by her parents with godly character and a heart of humility to give birth to and to raise the very Son of God. You know, we don't always think about it so much, but think about it if you were Mary and you were chosen by God. See, Mary wasn't all that old. She was probably between the age of 12 and 14 years old, maybe 15. But apparently, you know, in those days, these girls were declared women. 12, 13, 14 years old, they are women. They were chosen. She was chosen by God. She already had within her, you gotta remember that, they would teach their children the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible she had memorized. Just like the boys, she knew. And Mary's mother and father, now this isn't in the scripture, but her mother and father were, by early writings, early church writings, stated that they were a little bit older. They had been believing God and trusting God for a child. They said, if we could have this child, we will dedicate her to the Lord. So Mary was not chosen by accident. Neither were you. God chose you on purpose. On purpose, God said, I'm going to send my son because I love man. I love mankind. I'm going to make a way that they can know me. As we sang earlier, God, Emmanuel, God with us, revealed where? In us. God's desire was to live inside of us, to live inside of man. We were chosen for such a time as this. Even Esther had her destiny. Yes, she was chosen for that time to stand before the king, to risk her life for the sake of a nation, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, the people of God. So what? That the lineage of Christ could be preserved till he was born. It was very important. God did not choose Mary by accident, but he neither did he choose you by accident. You are not an accident. Sometimes we hear people say, well, maybe you've never heard it, but I've heard it before. You know, apparently somebody was born. Their parents didn't intend for them to be born. They said, oh, it was an accident. No, it wasn't an accident. We know that. But sometimes people feel they were an accident. Or maybe you were told you're an accident. We have people that think babies are an accident. Let's just get rid of them. But the Bible declares, even in the womb, God knew you. He formed you. He knit you together. He created you. It says in Psalm 139, talked about you being fearfully and wonderfully made. You are important to God. You are not an accident. Some of you have been brought here to St. Thomas. I've heard a few of your stories. It wasn't an accident that you're here at the Family Prayer Center. God chose you. He has a purpose for you, just like he did for others. Let's read here, beginning in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. So here we have an angel, says his name, Gabriel. God says, angel Gabriel, I want you to go to the city of Nazareth. Now you remember what people would say about Nazareth, right? Later on we heard about Jesus. Could there anything good come out of Nazareth? It was a small city, but it was situated. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But it was kind of a small city because it was like a suburb of a larger city, which people would consider more important, but many people lived there. Just as perhaps, you know, they live close to Toronto in a smaller city, but they drive into what? Toronto. Why? Because it's the big city. It's where everything's happening. It's the place of commerce. It's where things are being, you know, being developed. It's where all the technology is going on. It's where there's work. It's where things are just developing and people want to be there. So here we are. We're here with the angel Gabriel, who is sent to the city of Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Mary. We've heard a lot about Mary. There's been all kinds of good things about Mary. There's been some things that weren't so good about Mary. People have exalted her beyond where she should be. Amen. Some have worshipped Mary. We don't worship people, but we do worship God. And we do thank God that Mary was a willing vessel. Amen. Are you a willing vessel this morning? Are you willing to be obedient to the things that God asks of you? Where's our heart today? We're not an accident. God chose you. God has a purpose for you, just as he did for Mary. It says, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. How would you like to hear you're a highly favored person? Amen. You know, it was not an accident that God chose Mary. Mary didn't just become highly favored the day the angel came to talk to her. She was already highly favored in the eyes of God. Her father, Mary's father, worked in the temple in Sephora, which is a town about 4 miles away, which I told you. And that was kind of like the great up-and-coming city. Antipas was there, and he was in charge, and he was trying to make a magnificent city in Galilee. This is supposed to be the great city. So he was putting quite a bit of resources into it, money and effort into building this city. And many of the more wealthy people were moving to Sephora. But here's Mary. She's over in Nazareth. But her father was over, you know, he would go to Sephora, and he worked in the temple a lot because he was in charge of the scrolls. He'd keep them in order and so forth and go over the scrolls. So he was a man of the Word of God. Today we might say he was one of the faithful men in the church. He's there all the time. He's helping to take care of the temple, helping to take care of things. You know, we might say, oh, he's a man of the Word of God. I'm not saying he was one of the teachers there or anything, but he really loved God. He and his wife sought God. Now, these are things from early writings of history. This is not right here in the Bible, but I'm trying to get us a picture. What did it look like? What was Mary's upbringing? Her parents apparently instilled into her godly values. It is written, they dedicated her to the Lord on the eighth day. Remember, when a child's born, they would bring them before the Lord and dedicate. They dedicated her. They said, she belongs to you, Lord. And so Mary was taught from a young age, there is a purpose for your life. God has a work for you to do. You are dedicated to the Lord. And they taught her by example, by going to the temple regularly. They didn't just stay home on Sunday morning or Saturday morning. You know, and during the times when the temple was open, they were there. And during the week, they were busy working in the church, serving in the temple. We would say today, working in the church and helping to keep things in order. Helping to keep the Word of God, the scrolls that were available. Hallelujah. But she was highly favored in verse 28. Blessed are you among women. Verse 29 says, but when she saw him, the angel, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Verse 30. Here in five verses again, he says, you have found favor with God. See, Mary was a woman that was seeking after God. I believe she had a heart for God. She was taught to know God. She was taught to listen for the voice of God. As Samuel, remember when Samuel was put into the temple at 3 years old, or five, you know, when he was weaned, 3 to 5 years old, and he was with Eli, and Eli was there, and Samuel heard the voice of God around 8 years old, and he said, and Eli told him, well, you know, he goes two or three times. Eli, did you call my name? Did you call me? No, I didn't call you, Samuel. He comes again, and finally Eli realized, oh, the Lord, you say, yes, Lord, here I am. Your servant is listening. I believe Mary was much like that. She was there, and because she was here, and she saw the angel, and she's troubled in her heart for the things that he had said. You're highly favored. Don't be troubled, Mary. You are highly favored. Don't worry. Don't worry about this greeting. And behold, verse 31, the angel says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Jesus, the great name above all names. Amen. Now, a lot of times you say, well, I thought we just sang his name is Emmanuel. It is Emmanuel. Why? Because he is also God with us. There are many names that describe Jesus. Amen. Throughout the Word of God. He is our provider. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our Healer. Jesus is. But most of all, he is God. It was God himself coming through the Virgin Mary. Hallelujah. He says, behold, you're going to conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. Why? He shall be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said to the angel, not me, Lord. No, she didn't. She didn't, did she? She didn't say, not me. She didn't say, this cannot be either. She said, how can this be? How is this going to happen, in other words? She didn't say, it can't happen. She said, Lord, how is this going to happen? She believed in her father. She believed in what God was saying to her. She just wanted to understand. It's okay to ask God. God, how can this be? Maybe he's called you or asked you to do something big and something you can't afford or something that you don't understand how to do. And you say, Lord, how can this be? Lord, how do you want this to happen? What's going on here? So she's asking the Lord. Hallelujah. How can this be since I don't know a man? That's important, isn't it? She's never known a man. She was betrothed to Joseph. Now, when a person was betrothed in those days, the woman and Joseph, they would be betrothed for 1 year. During that year, they would teach Mary how to be the wife. And Joseph was learning how to be a good husband. They spent 1 year not having sex together, not living together, not in the same house together, but they were being taught, and they would teach them by, I'm sure, their parents, their grandparents, their family taught them how to love your husband, Mary. Joseph, how to respect and honor your wife. Hallelujah. And it goes on, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. You will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Hallelujah. Now, so there you are. He'll be called the Son of God. You are going to birth, Mary. The Son of God. You know, I'm sure her heart was pitter-patter, but she got real excited. You said, well, how do you know she got excited? Well, we can see that in just a few verses down. Verse 38, first of all, verse 38. Let's go there first. Just skip a few verses here. We'll go ahead and read it. It's okay. Verse 36. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. And the angel departed from her. She says, let it be according to your word, Lord. She said, now, I'm telling you this right now. Your cousin Elizabeth is already pregnant. That was John the Baptist. You heard Zechariah had been believing God. They were older in years and hadn't had a child yet. But they had a child. If you remember, God said you're going to have a child. He even told Zechariah. He ended up having to be mute for a little while, so he didn't mess things up. Because his name was supposed to be John. And he had a few doubts at first, but how many know God can overcome your doubts? Hallelujah. He'll help you. Say, well, I got a few doubts. I don't know. I mean, can I really fulfill? Be it unto me, Lord, according to thy will. Holy Spirit, come upon me like you did on Mary. Let the call of God, let the purpose in my life impregnate me. Let me carry it, Lord. Let me work with you, Father, to fulfill my godly destiny. You are not an accident. God has chosen you. You have purpose. God will come to you. Hallelujah. And Mary's purpose was coming to fruition. She had been trained by her parents. She had been in the synagogue. She had learned the word of God. And she obviously had her heart humbled to say, Lord, I'm your servant. She was taught that she had a purpose. It's important, you see. A lot of people, I'm not saying maybe you didn't get saved when you were a child. Maybe you didn't go to church when you were a child. I did. I was very blessed. And maybe your parents didn't tell you everything, but they showed you the way by their action. Or someone in your life brought you. I brought several people to church. Hallelujah. As I was growing up. My friends spent the night. They came to church with me. See, I got one particular friend. I remember from the second to about the ninth grade, we were pretty close friends. We were very close friends. We go fishing and build tree houses and rode bicycles and you name it. It was me and Joe. Joe Parker was his name. And he would come to church with me and we would talk about, I'd talk to him about the Lord a little bit here and there. And even as a young person. And he didn't come and follow the Lord right away, but when he was 18 years old, called me one Christmas. He said, Doug, I just want you to know I gave my heart to Jesus. Hallelujah. The best gift I could ever ask for. He gave his heart to Jesus. I'd prayed for him for years. Tried to be an influence in his life. Gave my heart to Jesus. I'm going to that little church over there. Just want you to know. Thanks for telling me about Jesus. You know, when you hear those words, you have a purpose. Sometimes your purpose doesn't come to fruition when we want to see it. We want to see it today. But sometimes it's the seed that's growing inside someone's heart that you planted, that you put in there, that maybe you don't see right now, but it will come to pass. God begins to work. God keeps working. He waters that seed. The Bible says one plants, another waters, but God brings an increase. Amen. When we don't think God's working, or when it doesn't look like things are so good, looks like they're running the other way sometimes. We got to realize, Lord, I trust you. God's still working. Hallelujah. Amen. And sometimes it's the children that bring parents to. Sometimes it's the children that bring parents to God. Amen. But families, God works in families. We see a family here too. We see Elizabeth, her cousin. There's about 14 family members of Jesus that are listed in the Bible. Because Jesus wasn't an only child. Mary and Joseph had other children over in, I have to look at which scripture that is, in Matthew 18, I believe it's verse 55, about Mary. Anyway, there was other children that the Bible talks about. Jesus had, of course, Jude and James, two writers of the Bible, were Jesus. Simeon was another brother of his. I mean, some people say, well, they didn't have any other children. Well, after, they didn't have any children until after Jesus was born. They didn't have any relations until after Jesus was born. How many men know that Jesus, that Joseph was also a man of integrity? Amen. God didn't just choose somebody overnight. He had been watching Joseph. And the Bible says that he was a carpenter, or, I mean, that's kind of a general word, but most likely from reading the history, he was a very skilled man. The word is T-E-K-T-O-N in the Greek, technon. We get our word technology from that. Joseph was on part of the cutting edge. He was one of the upper men and probably had his own building company and could do many things. He would make, you know, it refers to having exquisite furniture that he could make. He could do all sorts of things. He was probably well gifted in doing stonework and so forth. And he was probably a builder and probably had men working under him. And I'm sure Mary's parents probably saw Joseph working over in Sephora, the city where he was most likely doing that. He would travel from Nazareth over to Sephora. And I'm sure her father saw him and watched him. He was a man of great integrity. And we know that he was, because why? He was willing to put Mary away privately, covering her, saying, oh, something must have happened. I mean, think about it. I mean, you're a man. Your girlfriend, you know you haven't had relations with her. And she comes up pregnant. Whew. I mean, you know, you get a little nervous. You're like, well, wait a minute. I know this ain't my baby. And many men just get up, well, just, yeah, you've been doing something else. You know, but Joseph didn't just do that. He didn't just shun her off. He loved her already. He cared and he was patient and he said, well, I could just do this quietly because I know she's a good woman. She's still a good person. I mean, think about Mary. She has to explain this to her parents who raised her to be holy before God. Yet they knew she was separated unto God. So I'm sure when they told her, they listened and they talked with her because she was already being taught how to be a good wife to Joseph. They were already in good communication. So the raising of Mary was important. The life of her parents and her grandparents. Which would have been Joseph's grandparents. I'm sorry, Jesus' grandparents. And they weren't just poor. Joseph was not just some poor man. He worked hard, probably made pretty good money. So poor is the up-and-coming city. He's on the cutting edge. He has a wonderful business. God doesn't just choose someone who's unfaithful. He said, if we'll be faithful with little, he'll make us faithful with much. Are we preparing for obedience to God's voice? Are we preparing ourselves to be obedient to what God has asked us to do? Something to think about, amen? Mary had been being prepared. She prepared. Her parents had a part in her preparation. But she had a part to play. She had to be willing. She was submissive. She was listening. She was obviously humbling herself. She said, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Glory to God. And we know that she got pretty excited. Luke 26. We're still in Luke 1, I'm sorry. We started in verse 26. 36 is where we are. Hallelujah. All right. And we said that Elizabeth, she had heard that she's already pregnant. And Mary said, behold, verse 38, the handmaiden of the Lord, your servant, Lord. Behold your servant, Lord. Behold me. A handmaiden in that day was like the servant. It's like someone that was a servant in a home or was a servant in, to another person. They were someone that is of a humble means, willing to serve. Are you willing to serve today? Are we willing to say, yes, Lord, I'll be a servant? See, she already had that heart in her. My job is to be a servant of yours, Lord. To be a son, yes, but also to serve with you. Mary knew, I am a servant. So she was willing. She was willing to take on that of motherhood. And how many knows motherhood is definitely the role of a servant. Amen. Very important role. Very holy for her. Because he says, hey, this child's holy. Now Mary arose after that, verse 39. She got excited. She went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah. And entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. So she goes to Elizabeth, who is carrying John the Baptist. She had kind of, we know from other scriptures, she was kind of hiding herself away. She wasn't letting everybody know she's pregnant. She's like 6 months pregnant. So she's probably poking out there a little bit. And that baby got excited. The first one to rejoice over the coming of Jesus was John the Baptist, a child in the womb. Oh, can you believe that? You know, it's very interesting to me, especially today. Some people don't think there's any life in the womb, but we've already listened to what the Word of God said. Jeremiah 1:5, he says, in the womb I've fashioned you, I have woven you together. I have created you. I knew you before you were born. There's life in that child. The moment the child is conceived, cell for cell, they're also, their spirit is in there. They're a little eternal creature on the inside of them. And they live forever. I'm not condemning anyone if you've had an abortion. There's forgiveness. Your child is in heaven and you will meet that child one day. Praise the Lord. That's good news, by the way. Amen. You'll see that child. Children are there. They're innocent. We're not born guilty. We're born in innocence, even though we're not necessarily alive to the Father yet. Of course, there's a place in all of our lives where we know right from wrong, and the Bible says at that point, death. We understand death. We understand the law. When the law comes, everybody says, well, what is that? Some try to give an age to it, but it's when we can understand. When we know right and wrong. When we're become responsible for our own action. Amen. And that may be a little different for each person. But I just wanted to share that because I think it's interesting that the first one to rejoice over the birth of Jesus was an infant within the womb, a fetus, we would say, some would say. But it's a person. It's valuable. It has life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We need to stand for life. Amen. No matter what. No matter how big it may be. And Elizabeth was so filled with joy. She began to prophesy over Mary. It's going to happen. Just as God has said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nobody ever has gotten that before from the Lord. You know it's going to happen. It's on the inside of you. Sometimes we have to be careful with whom we share. Mary obviously was led of the Lord. She got excited. I got to tell somebody. Hallelujah. And sometimes we get our dream and we want to be careful, because remember when Joseph told his dream to his brothers, it wasn't so good for him. Some things we need to hang on to. But there's always somebody in your life. If we'll look around, find that person that you know accepts you and will say, oh yeah, you can kind of bounce that off of, oh, I can see that in you. They see it in you more than you do, see? They see some things in you that you may not see. Maybe it's your pastor. Maybe it's your friend. Maybe it's your good prayer partner. Somebody you know that loves God, that can encourage you. Mary was so encouraged. She was strengthened once again. God wanted it to be made clear. And Mary says, my soul, verse 47, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary began to sing a song. Many times remember when they crossed the sea, Miriam got her tambourine out. She began to dance and sing. The horse and rider were thrown into the sea. And Mary singing, my soul. Hallelujah. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. And when we know what God has spoken in our heart, and we are confident that He has given things to us, that we are bringing birth to something, we can say, oh, before we even see it, before she even saw Jesus, my soul does magnify the Lord, and I rejoice in God, my Savior. Are you rejoicing in God, our Savior, today? We can rejoice in the Jesus that was born. One thing we know, Mary was with Jesus before He was born. She was with Jesus while He was growing up, don't we? After He was born. She was with Jesus when He was at the temple at 12 years old. Mary saw Jesus after the resurrection. She was at the cross with Jesus. Remember what Jesus said to His apostle John, the one that loved Him. Behold your mother. Mary, behold your son. He's going to take care of you. She did not forget about some of those natural things as well. But something else about Mary, she was there on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. In Acts chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, we know that she was there with the other disciples and the apostles. Mary had received a word from God, and she held it in her heart. She knew that who was in her had purpose too, just like her parents taught her. I'm sure she taught Jesus. God knew that she would. And Joseph, being a man of integrity, a man of hard work, a man of means, he wasn't just some poor carpenter, as some would say. They didn't go to the inn because they couldn't get in the inn, not because they were too poor to pay. There was not room. Why? Because Bethlehem, they're going, everyone's coming to be taxed. It's a noisy time. There's animals, there's donkeys riding in. People are trying to find a room. They're trying to get settled for the night because they have to be counted. There's a census going on. They've got to pay their taxes. Everyone from Rome's coming. It's crowded. the shepherds are there. They're in the different stables that were probably, most likely, if you go there, you see all kinds of caves over there. That was probably where Jesus was born, was in a cave. Now we can use, it doesn't mean don't throw your stable out now. You can keep your wooden stable. It's okay. Yeah. But it was probably a cave where the shepherds would take shelter from the winds and from the elements from time to time. They would bring their sheep into town and they'd have somewhere for them to be. And within there would have been swaddling clothes, which were cloths that they would wrap over the lamb's legs when they were born. And Jesus was there wrapped. And God had given that sign to who? The shepherds, who would have understood. Yeah, I know where he'll be. He'll be in that, one of those stables there. They knew where to go. They knew the star was there, but they knew where to go. The star was more for the Magi, I believe, which they didn't come right away. By the way, a lot of times we think, well, the shepherds came, and there's the Magi, and there's the, you know, they were a little bit later. But we see the obedience of Mary. And we see also the obedience of Joseph. Why? Because at first he wanted to put Mary away privately, remember? But then the angel appeared to him in a dream. Joseph was also a man sensitive to the plan of God, to the voice of God. Are you sensitive this morning? Are you listening? Is your heart open to what God wants for us? He may come with a dream to you. He may come with his still small voice. Are we listening? Are we ready to be obedient? There's no accidents with God. There was a purpose. And they were prepared specifically. Joseph was prepared. He didn't just become integrous overnight. He already was. He had been practicing that. He'd been learning that through his young life and moving forward, and God knew he could entrust Jesus into Mary and Joseph's care. So Joseph had the dream and was not afraid to take Mary. He said, don't be afraid. How many of you would have been a little afraid to take Mary for your wife? I mean, she's pregnant. You're just getting married. You're going to have a baby and you've never known her. And you can't know her until after Jesus is born. Some men would have said, oh, heck with that. I want what I want. Come on, Mary, let's go. Let's get it on. All the men know what I'm talking about. But no, he had self-control. He had integrity. He had righteousness. And he believed in holiness and living for God. And he said, okay, even though Mary must have been ridiculed. Think about Mary. What did she have to go through? How was she looked upon in society? Maybe her parents kind of hid her too. Like Elizabeth, maybe they had to kind of hide her in the house. Oh, you know, we don't want too much talk in town. We believe this is God, but Mary, we better be careful. Go ahead and get married so, you know, everybody, you know, didn't know. So maybe they had a secret little wedding or something quiet, not too big. Because normally it was kind of big. And go in the tent, you know, and you're supposed to bring out the sheet with blood because you're supposed to be a virgin when you got married. And she was. But maybe it had to kind of be a little secret wedding here. I'm just throwing some things out there. Think about it. What did she have to, in her heart, she had to ponder some things. She had to go through and manage her emotion. And Joseph had to manage his emotions. Maybe he was a little angry at first. Thinking, no, that's not right. You know, I don't know how many of you, but I would think that's not right. Something's happened here. But thank God he was willing to listen. He didn't just dismiss his dream. How many of you have ever had a dream that you just, maybe you dismissed it? Maybe it was pizza, but maybe God was speaking to you. He thought about it. He analyzed it. He decided this is God. He believed. Think about what Mary at first, what did she have to do? She had to talk to Joseph. Right. Okay, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now I know you're talking to me. Boy, how long did it take you to think up that story, Mary? Just some things to think about. Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to be obedient? Are we willing to say, Lord, here I am. I'll be your servant. I'll be your slave. I'll do as you have asked, Lord. Whatever it may be. Doesn't seem like, it's a pretty big task. I'm going to have a baby. I'm not married yet. I'm going to have a baby. Well, Mama, I know you've been teaching me how to be a wife, but God had a different plan. He wants to have a baby before we get married. Huh? What? So everybody involved had some things to deal with. And sometimes when we are learning and carrying the plan of God in our heart, we've got to deal with our emotions. Amen. We've got to deal with what we're facing. We've got to say, well, I don't seem to have the money. I don't seem to have the time. I don't seem to know what I'm doing, Lord. Hallelujah. We have to cry out to the Lord and be willing and say, yes, Lord, I'll follow your will. According to your will, Lord, be it unto me. There are no accidents with God. Amen. You're not an accident. I'm not an accident. God knew you before you were formed. He had a plan and a purpose for you. And that is my prayer for you today. We see where that plan was being fulfilled by Mary. Hallelujah. And we see some of the responsibilities that they had to train up Jesus. They had to make sure he went to the synagogue. He went to school. They took care of him. Probably had quite a bit of time with his grandpa there on Mary's side, where he was in the, working with him and helping him keep all the scrolls straight. Reading them, memorizing them. See, it wasn't just anybody that God gave his son to, and it's not just anybody that is just chosen. We make ourselves chosen. Amen. We allow ourselves to be in tune with him, and we allow ourselves to become chosen by saying, yes, Lord, I humble myself. I seek your face. I let your word live in my heart. I allow myself to be ready to hear your voice, to accept your call, to accept your purpose for me, whether it be big or small, whether I'm seen or unseen, whether I work in the front or behind the scene, Lord, I'm willing to serve. I'm willing. How many are willing this morning? How many are glad we have a Savior? Amen. How many have given their heart to Jesus? You said, Lord, come into my life. I want to walk with you. I want to be someone that knows you. I want your life. I want your purpose for me. Amen. Amen. And that takes a little bit of what humility like Mary had. Be it unto me like Joseph had. Take Mary to be your wife. Amen. And sometimes all around us, in the midst of us going through and getting to and entering into what God has called us to do, sometimes there's a lot of noise. They heard a lot of noise in Bethlehem that night. It was uncomfortable. How many know sometimes when you're carrying your purpose in your heart, it can be a little uncomfortable. I'm sure Mary was uncomfortable. I'm sure Joseph was even a little uncomfortable. You know, he's got to take her with the donkey. They probably got there later than everyone else, even though they probably left earlier and got there later because Mary's pregnant. Joseph, pee break again. You know, excuse me. So they're going in, and then there's no room in the inn, and Joseph's thinking, what am I going to do? There's no room. It's not that they wouldn't have bought a room. They would have gotten a room. He'd have bought her a room. Sorry, there's none left. Bethlehem's full. Don't you know there's a census going on? Yes, we do. That's why we're here. Anybody ever been somewhere where there was no room? My wife and I was there. We went to Moab one time. We were going to see Moab, Utah. Yeah, thank you. We're going to go see the Arches National Monument, which is a really bunch of different formed rocks and so forth. And we didn't think about the time of year it was. And we got there and there's no rooms, no motel rooms available. Nothing's there. And it was her and I, and her brother and mother and dad had driven too because they were following us. We were all going to go together the next day. We got there and there's just no rooms. We didn't think about calling ahead. We didn't think about reserving something. This is kind of the peak of the season when people take vacation and go see the arches. And, you know, and so we ended up having to find a place where we could park and sleep in the car. So how many know you ever slept in the car? You know, you just kind of put the seat back. I mean, you don't really sleep, but you do. You know, I think we slept about 4 or 5 hours. Oh, well, let's go. We got to go have breakfast. You know, time to go see the arches. Hallelujah. So Joseph and Mary were inconvenienced. Yep, we'll take it. It's all that's available. We'll take it. We'll take the stable. And Jesus laid in a manger, the feeding trough of an animal. Amazing. The Son of God, the Lamb of God, Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Let's stand up. Let's rejoice because he was born. His name is Jesus. Shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. As the song we sung today revealed in us. Amen. Amen. When we invite him to be Lord and Savior and Master, he accepts us. He said, I've known you when you're still being knit together in your mother's womb. I know who you are. Do we know him? Are we willing to continue to surrender? Amen. Continue to say, Lord, here am I. Be it unto me according to your word. I submit myself to the truth of your word. All the things that you have written, Lord. All the things that you have given. My life to be full of righteousness, holiness, integrity. Doing the right thing when no one's looking. Not everybody knew about Mary. They didn't know she was pregnant. Yeah, she just got pregnant. And the angel says, take her. It's okay. Joseph's thinking about getting rid of her. Don't abort what God has called you to be. Let's not abort our purpose. Amen. Let's continue to press and continue to follow God.